Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody and welcome to the Dudes and Beer podcast. Make sure to stop on by audibletrial.com/dudes to get your 30 days free trial of Audible. You'll get all kinds of books, all kinds of genres. audibletrial.com/dudes is the site. It's where you can go to get your free 30-day trial. Welcome to the show. Chris Jordan, your host here. Tonight, we are going to have a great conversation about returning hidden knowledge to future generations. We will be talking with Melissa Irene, author of the book Planets of the Week. It's a children's book that goes through basically why the week names of the week are named what they're named. Something that maybe a lot of us have forgotten. Actually astrologically based, most of them. So interesting to go into that and to write a children's book about that. She is also a holistic therapist. Her website is melissadivinity.com. We'll be talking about holistic therapy, what we can do for ourselves, how that knowledge has been lost over time, things like that. Right after this upcoming report from our in-house HC Universal Network reporter, John Baum from Daily News Collective. We'll be back right after this.
We choose truth over facts.
The spin is as expected.
There have been questions about whether Trump's push for an investigation into the Bidens was tied to a package of military aid to Ukraine. This package of aid has been approved by Congress, meant to defend Ukraine against, wait for it, Russia.
I see three crimes here. One is extortion by the president, which is basically using a threat of withholding aid to obtain something of value. A second crime is conspiracy to engage in extortion between the president and Rudy Giuliani. A third crime is conspiracy to violate federal election law between the president and Rudy Giuliani to obtain foreign interference in the United States election.
President Trump invoking his executive privilege to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, as it states in Article 2 of the Constitution, contacted Ukrainian President Zelensky in a July phone call concerning the well-documented corruption allegations against former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who was on the board of directors of a large Ukrainian oil company.
A couple years ago, Joe Biden brings his son, Hunter Biden, who's a journeyman investor, to China with him on Air Force Two. A week later, Hunter Biden comes back with $1.5 billion from the Chinese government. Let's play some role reversal. What do you guys think would happen if Donald Trump Jr. went to China and came back with $1.5?
Back in 2015, the New York Times accurately reported, when Vice President Joe R. Biden Jr. traveled to Kiev, Ukraine on Sunday for a series of meetings with the country's leaders, one of the issues on his agenda was to encourage a more aggressive fight against Ukraine's rampant corruption and stronger efforts to rein in the power of its oligarchs. But the credibility of the Vice President's anti-corruption message may have been undermined by the association of his son, Hunter Biden, with one of Ukraine's largest natural gas companies, Burisma Holdings, and with its owner, Mykola Zlozhevsky, who was Ukraine's ecology minister under former President Viktor F. Yanukovych before he was forced into exile. Biden is claiming he had no knowledge. His son was on the board of the corrupt Ukrainian natural gas firm for 2 years before he used his vice presidential influence to withhold $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees if the president of Ukraine didn't axe the investigation and the investigator of Burisma Holdings.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
And so how do you know?
Here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He is violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him the question, why is he on the phone with a foreign leader, trying to intimidate a foreign leader, if that's what happened. That appears what happened. You should be looking at Trump. Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum. And he's using the abuse of power and every element of the presidency to try to do something to smear me. Everybody looked at this and everybody's looked at it and said there's nothing there.
Too bad Biden already bragged about it years ago. I guess it must have slipped what's left of his mind.
I remember going over convincing our team, our others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
And, of course, as Nadler and his worthless bunch of impeachment zealots continue their embarrassing abuse of power, investigating the president by hijacking the Judiciary Committee while ignoring years and millions of taxpayer dollars of evidence exonerating the president, Adam Schiff pops up again to remind us that only Republicans can be investigated during an election year. John Bowne reporting.
And we are back, folks. With us on the line today is Miss Melissa Irene. How are you doing today, Melissa?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show. We actually had a few false starts for this interview. There were a few things that came about on your schedule, then some things that came about on my schedule, and then I had like a crazy migraine one day that we were supposed to record, and I was like, I can barely see 2 feet in front of my face right now. We finally had a chance to have you on, and I am so excited. Holistic therapy, to begin with, is something that I have been around for at least a good 20 years of my life, purposefully, knowingly, using herbs, tinctures, things like that to help myself medically, that kind of stuff, but also just the mentality of it. How did you first come in contact with holistic medicine and the holistic lifestyle, Melissa?
Well, I appreciate that question. I started my own healing journey with plant entheogens, and it woke me up to the connection that we have with the earth and the plants. And I started researching, and I learned about how different herbs and plants have medicinal properties and vitamins and nutrients that our body needs. And so I just started studying it for years, and until it made sense to me. And now I can identify plants. I can tell you what they're good for and how to prepare them. And it just really opened my mind up to the idea of staying connected to the earth and how, you know, the natural medicine is in the plants.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, myself, having grown up as someone who hunted, things like that, was pretty connected with the outdoors, and especially through Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, and through my own learning, took it upon myself to learn local herbs, things like that that grew out in the wild locally that I could go out and wildcraft and use, things like mint, mint, passion flower, all that kind of stuff. I find it to be one of the most useful things in the world to know that if I'm even stuck out in the country because I went to go camping and now my car won't start, I can find food. Like, aside from animals, I know what plants are safe to eat in the wild. I know if I get a cut, which ones I can kind of chew around in my mouth and put on my cut to act as an antiseptic, stuff like that. And it's inordinately helpful, and it's stuff that we as people, we as societies, used for millennia, for thousands of years, that for now some reason we've decided to just kind of give lockdown to Big Pharma on, and say, hey, yeah, you know, instead of maybe boiling a few shavings of willow bark, I'm going to go out and buy some aspirin.
Right. The pharmaceutical.
It's cartel, it's the exact same thing. It's just an extract of willow bark, acetyl salicylic acid, which is the base for aspirin. You can get the same compound by literally taking some willow tree bark and boiling it a little bit.
And it's free.
Yeah, and it's absolutely free. It's natural. It's everywhere around you, folks. What was it that sent you down the path of, I mean, we know why you got into holistic healing, but what was it that made you want to take on holistic therapy as your day-to-day?
Well, I saw a lot of suffering in my family, you know, and humanity, really. Like, I see the effects of GMOs and pharmaceuticals and people not taking care of themselves. And I, you know, I have four children, so the mother is basically responsible for the health of their children. And so I wanted to learn. The more I learned, I knew I could take care of my children. So I just wanted, you know, more knowledge so that I could be there for them and then other people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those, like you said, as a mother, it's your responsibility to take care of the health of your children. As a father, it's my duty to do the same thing. And
right, I'm sure it is.
it's very much the fact of teaching your kid which plants in the backyard that if they see them, don't touch them. Even not too long ago, I went and told my neighbors all around me about a coral snake that I saw in the backyard.
You
know, it's same concept. I want people to know that there's something around that's not good for you.
Good or not good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And to know those kind of things, to let your children know that, I think is one of the most important things that you can do.
I agree.
Let's get into your motherhood a little bit, because of course there's one thing to living a holistic life on your own, but there's something totally different to living a holistic life with children around.
Oh yeah.
How has that changed your holistic view, and how does your holistic view change your parenting?
Okay. Well, I definitely feed them differently than most people. And my children are very healthy and leaders in their class. And they're the smartest kids in their class. Like, they're, you know, very healthy. So I noticed that it does have an effect on them. And, you know, we don't really buy a lot of the pharmaceuticals or anything over the counter. So that helps save us money. And, you know, we're just more naturalists. And my children started calling me a hippie. And I didn't know what that they even knew what that meant, you know.
Oh my Lord.
And so then I had to look it up. But yeah, I'm like, I'm a hipster for sure. Like, I'm definitely hip. I'm hip to what's going on.
Yeah, well,
if you want to call me a hippie.
Well, and you used most definitely what a lot of people nowadays would consider a trigger word in there, GMO. It's a word that, at least in my mind, has the proper place amongst question. We've got thousands of years of experience to know what homegrown tomatoes do for you and what they do and how they grow. My grandfather loved his tomatoes and had the same strain of tomatoes for about 30 years that he grew in his backyard. He was master of that domain. It was absolutely amazing to see him do his work. I don't know that he would have ever gone with a GMO tomato. I don't think he would have ever gone with anything that wasn't grown by somebody that he knew for 10, 15 years on end. What is it exactly about the GMO process that I guess should be looked out for?
Okay, well, genetically modified foods, organisms are just not natural. So it's whatever you put in your body is what you're going to become. So you don't want to become unnatural. You don't want modifications in your, you know, in your natural self. So eating GMOs can cause cancer, can cause a lot of diseases, can cause, you know, stagnation in the body and cause lumps and bumps. And, you know, it's just, it's an unnatural food. So eating it is going to create an unnatural state. So, you know, whatever symptoms you might have may be because of the GMO food. You know, it might be because of your environment or, you know, your thinking or your feelings or whatever. There's all sorts of parameters or all sorts of things that can affect your health, and GMO is just one of them. You know, so you really want to stay away from GMO foods. Like, they're just not. They're not good for you. They're not healthy. They're not natural. And
yeah, I mean, and granted, it may just be adding a gene or two here and there. Some of the GMO foods even include genes from animals that have been put into vegetables, genes from other breeds of vegetable that are not related necessarily, but have a certain immunity to insects or drought, stuff like that. For me, it's just the fact of we have yet to do long-term study. We have yet to see what the effects of somebody who eats GMO food on the daily for 15 years.
Well, look around you, brother. Like,
No, I mean, study though, as far as
as far as
anybody saying like, oh, glyphosate's horrible. It is horrible. It's horrible. I don't know how you can think it's good.
Well, yeah, there's a lawsuit going around Facebook right now. It's like, if you have lymphoma, like, it's from GMO, they're announcing it.
As of right now, there have been two cases that have been awarded against Monsanto and against Roundup. So
totally.
it's at least in my mind thus far vindicated. If people in courtrooms are like, hey, that scientific evidence that's shown is good enough to me to connect the two. That stuff's been around for a good 15, 20 years. And if you're talking long term natural effects, now is the time that we would be seeing that pop up.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, to me, it's very interesting. Even as someone who suffers from heart issues on both sides of my family with men, those heart issues didn't exist before my grandfather.
Wow.
And those were people that smoked a pack a day. They drank a bottle of whiskey a week. They worked outside all day, every day as sharecroppers, stuff like that.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of it. Number one, we live more of a sedentary lifestyle now. We definitely live in more of a constant state of stress than we've ever lived as a society as far as go, go, go. You think about it, even back in I will not ask you to belie your age. I myself am about to turn 44. But even my grandparents growing up in Mamou, Louisiana, man, when it went dark, it was dark.
Yeah, like
they didn't have streetlights. They didn't have all that stuff. It was dark. Mm-hmm. That meant it was time to go to bed.
Right.
Like,
I agree.
You went to bed at 7 or 8 o'clock because you were up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning when the sun came up.
Right.
You know, to go out and take care of animals and farms and stuff like that.
Natural way of life.
Yeah, and it's interesting how once we started losing that connection, once we started getting away from a more agrarian type lifestyle, and even the lifestyle of it's dark outside, so it's dark inside my house. How much that has changed us as people.
Right, totally.
The way that we interact with each other, the way that we interact as a society, it's literally a chain reaction, and it's so interesting to see that happen.
Yeah, it's kind of empirical, even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that, hand in hand, comes the foods that we eat, the foods that we prepare. I, for years, have been on a tirade with my Cajun family in the fact of, really, it takes 15 minutes to make roux. Not that your roux out of a bottle doesn't taste good. It tastes all right. The jarred roux that you buy, Thibodeau's or whatever it is on the shelf. You know, but why wouldn't you just make that roux? It's literally cooking flour in hot oil. That's all it is. It's not complex. It's just 15 minutes of time taken away from you. That time, put that energy into the food you're about to eat. It tastes better for a reason. It's literally the intent that you're putting into it.
That's deep.
Yeah, it's
most people don't know that. They want the fast food and the quick meal, and they're eating at the side of the road poison factories on a daily basis.
Perfectly put. I think my wife may be bringing me home some poison food as we speak. I'm not going to lie. Like, I spend a lot of time on the road, Melissa. So it's hard for me not to guarantee that my food is cooked. You know what I mean? I don't know if they were using Chef Mike in the background to get things going. You know, the old industrial strength microwave that's used in so many restaurants, stuff like that.
It's so bad for you. So bad for you.
When I'm at home, literally the only thing that might be used for is maybe thawing something out rapidly. If I have to, cooking popcorn or cooking ramen for myself late at night. That's all that a microwave is used for. Aside from that, everything else is heated in pans. It's all cooked by hand as much as possible. What do you, as a mother of four, do to try to keep foods and healthcare holistic for your children?
Well, we don't use a microwave ever because it destroys the molecular structure of the food and your body just can't absorb the vitamins at all. So that's off limits. Unless we're heating up a sponge to sanitize it to clean the dishes or something. But mostly I just store my electronics in there in case of an EMP strike or something.
Right.
But, you know, mostly we eat organic. There's a grocery store, local chain, Natural Grocers. It's all organic produce, and we usually go there, and they even give away produce. Which is great because we make a compost pile, or you can even grow a garden from most of the scraps that Natural Grocers give away. But, you know, we eat at home a lot, and you know, you can make anything that you want out of the house better at home with organic, non-dairy. You know, we don't eat very much meat, fish sometimes, but no beef or pork. You know, we have guidelines that help maintain our health and our morals and ethics and values, you know, for animals. And,
sure.
You know, we think the animals are here for a reason and, you know, not necessarily to eat them all.
Yeah. Now, does that mean that you yourself are a strict vegetarian?
I was a vegetarian for a long time. Now you can consider me a pescatarian because I do eat fish.
Okay.
And you know, I am concerned about my health before, you know, killing an animal.
Sure.
I just want to make sure that I'm getting all my nutrients and vitamins that I need and my children. And I don't really have anything against eating out of the ocean or the lake for some reason. Like I used to, and then I processed it a little more. And I don't know, eating fish just seems natural.
Well, it's definitely not the – and I myself coming from a culture of hunting – raising animals, stuff like that. I'm definitely not a fan of like store-bought chicken breasts, that
right.
kind of stuff. I will mm-hmm. always hit up a farmer's market, things like that first, to mm-hmm. find free-range fryers, to try to find free-range eggs as much as possible. There is definitely a difference between that and the eggs that you get from the egg hatchery, you know,
sure.
Farmer Fred's eggs that are available for 99 cents a dozen that have the paper thin shells because the chickens have like calcium deficiency, things like that.
Right.
I wish the raccoons hadn't gotten my backyard chickens. They did.
Me too.
If you got chickens, folks, watch out for the raccoons. They love chicken heads.
That's true.
It is a delicacy. And those were great. They were fantastic. They were my compost machine. Just yesterday I was throwing away a handful of apple that my son didn't eat. And I kind of looked at the backyard and was like, man, this is just going into a corner now. It used to just get tossed out and my chickens would make quick work of it. Like those apples would have lasted maybe a minute between the two of them. And they're great, great lessons. These are the things that, the forgotten knowledge that I think society has lost. I have a very good friend that just picked up a flock of chickens and, they lost one and it was his daughter's favorite. And he was like, I don't think I've ever seen her so crushed in my life.
Aww.
And he was like, I'm crushed. Like I'm destroyed. I don't even know what to do. He's like, it's a freaking chicken. And like, I'm feeling like this. I'm like, yeah, I told you, man. Like you'll get attached to them.
Yeah, they sound like babies when they cry.
Oh yeah. 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 Not only that, but they get to the point that they will respond to their name. You can teach them tricks if you get them young enough. You know, they will come to you when they call. All that kind of stuff. And it's great, great life lessons for kids to understand that like I give a handful of feed to this and it provides me eggs.
Right.
And when it doesn't provide me eggs, it goes in the pot. And I cared for it, and now I cared for its life, and now it will care for my life.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
circle
of life.
Exactly. And when handled properly like that, when hunting is properly done with programs of replenishment going on and breeding and release programs, things like that, it uh-huh. does create a very, very healthy ecosystem. Like, not a lot of people realize that licensed hunting and fishing is what pays for restocking programs. Half the money that goes to coastal conservation in the state of Texas and the United States comes from the purchase of saltwater fishing licenses.
Oh, wow.
So where like nobody wants the animals around more than us. We like to eat them. We want more striped bass around, and we want the striped bass that are there cared for properly, people,
right?
Because striped bass are delicious and we want to catch them. So, you know, it's kind of an odd thing that you find out eventually. People just going out and randomly slaughtering animals is horrible. People bringing up animals in horrible conditions is horrible.
True.
And it's going to be the same thing if you have an overcrowded field of wheat. If you got too much wheat in the ground, it's gonna rob itself of nutrients. It's an odd concept that we have with this more is better society that we live in.
Right.
Now, let's. I hear children in the background. Let's talk a little bit about the book Planets of the Week and what brought you to write that book with your children.
Well, thank you for asking. My daughter is in art school, and Juliet, she just turned 21, and she helped illustrate it, and she wrote the words on the back, and she did all the layout and worked with the publisher for me.
Beautiful.
I wanted to get the message out because I learned it through astrotheology. I was studying astrotheology, you know, for my spiritual gaining, I was raised Baptist, and I wanted more firm answers to my questions. So I've studied different religions, Catholic, Judaism, and I still wasn't satisfied. So I went through some entheogen experiences, and then that led me to studying astrotheology. And so in studying astrotheology, I learned that the days of the week were named after the planets. And I was like flabbergasted. I'd never heard this. And then I learned about the energies of each planet. Like each planet apparently has an energy, like Mercury's about communication, and Jupiter's about abundance. And, you know, Saturn's about time, like Old Man Time, Saturn, Old Man Kronos. And as the rings of time around Saturn. And I just didn't know that growing up. And I was like, this is sacred knowledge. Like, our children need to know this. And every adult that I've talked to and I've asked them if they knew it, no one knows it. Like, they were surprised. And so I really wanted to get simple knowledge. Like, you mentioned it was for children's book. I did make it a cardboard book because I want to influence the younger generation, early age. And, but on the book, it says from ages 0 to 99.
Yes.
And, you know, I think it's important that everyone has somewhere to start, you know? And, I think that's a good starting place. Like, the days of the week are solid. The names of the days of the week are solid. If they were named after a planet, like, let's give honor to that planet. Like, someone obviously gave honor to the planet, and the planets are, you know, the hierarchies and the cosmocratics, and like, they created us. Like, we came through the planet onto the earth, and, you know, and to honor them daily with the days of the week is beautiful. And, you know, to connect with the planet in some form or fashion, like, they're above us. They want us to connect with them. Like, we're supposed to know the stars, movement of the stars, just to know ourselves. Like, we're all connected, and it's just the beginning. You know, it's the initiation, because there's way more to learn, you know, beyond that. And just to give that seed to a child to see where they can take it, you know, and it's just sacred knowledge that was hidden from us. And when you learn it as an adult, it's so powerful. Imagine if you learn as a child what you can add to it and learn, you know, grow from it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just it. All of this information, all of this knowledge, the earlier that we're exposed to it, the better decisions we can make. I'm not saying that you're going to follow a hermetic path in life, folks, or that your child is going to become like an esoteric phenom. if they read Planets of the Week by Melissa Irene. See how shameless that was?
Maybe.
But they might be. They might be. But the key is they cannot process any information that you do not give them or allow them to have.
Right.
And to know this, to understand this, I've been on the kick of people knowing etymology and the roots of words and where they come from for years and years. I've been fascinated by it, and I love it. And especially when it comes to the days of the week and the months of the year,
where those come from.
So for you, the days of the week are one of the first things that you start learning in pre-K, kindergarten, things like that. It's one of your first spatial time things that you learn,
and you learn about planets.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's just it. There's no reason by the time a kid is 3.5, 4 years old, easily kindergarten, that they should not be able to name all the planets in their orders.
Right.
Like along the ecliptic from the sun out to Pluto. And yeah, I just said Pluto. Come at me if you think it's not a planet.
Pluto's definitely a planet.
Suddenly we just changed 30 years of science. Whatever. And then they changed it back. It was like, maybe it's a planetesimal. But yeah, this is all stuff that, like, the earlier you can expose a child to learning like this, to open paths of learning, no borders, no boundaries.
That's beautiful.
I'm convinced of the fact that my son will probably be into wires and stuff, mainly because he's all about wires and stuff already. He's the only 2-year-old I know that knows how to work a patch bay, you know, like an old school telephone operator.
Wow.
And that's simply because he's had access to a patch bay, and I built him a toy like a patch bay when he was 6 months old for hand-eye coordination.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great.
But because he's been exposed to that, even people that I know that teach kindergarten are like, oh my God, his hand-eye coordination is off the charts. Like, geez, he's building like stacks of blocks as tall as him and taller.
It's about exposing them at a young age.
Yeah. And one of those stacks of blocks, I'll have to send you a picture of it. I'll include the picture of him building the stack in the episode post. But one of those stacks of blocks is actually a stack that is astronomy based. Has all the planets, and then whenever you, it's got a picture of the planet, then it's got their hermetic symbol, like their old school, like Greek symbol. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you turn it onto another face of the cube, and it's got its astronomical distance from the sun mapped out.
That's neat.
And then it's actually got on the other side its view from the ecliptic and where it is. It's absolutely awesome and interactive, but all amazing information. Like, my wife was like, geez, man, like, I learned stuff I didn't know about the planets from these blocks.
I know, right? Like, why weren't we taught this in school?
yeah, precisely.
I want to teach the children what I wanted to know as a child.
As a child? What was the knowledge that you wanted to know that when you found it out, you were like, oh, wow.
Well, this is one of them, you know, that the days of the week were named after the planets. Like, it shocked me to the core. I was like, why did nobody tell me this? Like, this is such sacred, simple knowledge that everyone has to know this. And you know, and I have a few more children's books coming out that I want to influence the youth with, because it's way beyond just the planets being named or the days of the week being named after the planets.
Sure.
The planets, you know, have, like, there's an astral body in the sky, And so Aries is the head and Taurus is the throat. And like, you know, I want to portray that in my next book. And they each have an element, like Aries is fire, you know, Taurus is earth, Gemini is air. And they have a sacred symbol for that. It's a triangle, upright or upside down, and with a line through it or not, depending on the element.
Sure.
And so, you know, that next book is also going to be, you know, about things that I wanted to know. But I didn't know that I wanted to know it until I got older and I learned it. And I was like, wow, I wish I would have known this, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And things that... once you know them, come to affect your life in an almost daily basis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I go outside and I thank the planets. When I wake up, I thank the sun for my heart, and I thank the trees for my lungs, and I thank the planets, you know, for my beauty and my health and my ability to learn. And it's just, you know, the planets reside inside of you and above you. So, I mean, in my own personal understanding.
Yeah, no, absolutely and beautifully said. Like we were recently saying in our episode with Sev Talk, and like we've talked about with Dr. John Hall, we are frequency receivers. That's all that we are. We're like large salt pillars with a little bit of water in us.
Electricity, yeah. We're just solid electricity.
I mean, we're really big batteries.
I've seen it.
So the fact that we are affected by frequency, the fact that we are affected by these things, does not surprise me in the least. And especially whenever you start talking about frequencies of the planets, that kind of stuff. I mean, look at how far away the moon is, yet still when it's closest to us, it still affects us.
When it's full, it affects us.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, every stage affects us.
Absolutely.
When it's full, you really see it. The crazies come out.
Yeah, it's called lunacy for a reason.
Right, exactly.
Based
it
off Luna.
It controls our mood.
Yeah.
The moon is our mood.
And just to know that you are bringing this esoteric knowledge down to a level that children can understand, to me, is a beautiful and awesome thing. Thank you so much for taking on that mantle, for trying to bring this stuff into the world, not just through children, but through parents.
Right, exactly.
Like you said, you wrote this book as simplistically as you did because you didn't even understand this at the beginning.
Right, I didn't. I wrote it very simple because I want to reach the young children.
Yeah.
And there are some big words in there, like commemorate, because
that's
each planet has an energy. Yeah, I know. I want them to learn big words, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes them feel like they're intelligent, because they are.
They are.
And when you empower the children, then they become better than they ever were. You know, they believe in themselves. And they're like, wow, I said that big word, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever they understood, you know, eventually they're going to understand the words and the energy, and, you know, it's not right away, but it's kind of hidden, you know, because it's not spelled out, but it's in there.
Well, you've definitely got to teach them to the point that they understand what receiving that energy is and feeling that energy understanding that energy when it is present.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have another book coming out that's being printed right now. It's called ABC Affirmations.
Oh, great.
Uh-huh. And
fantastic.
So they'll learn their ABCs with the I am statement.
That is great. I love the fact that you have started this reaffirming esoteric children's book series. that is just so awesome and future looking, Melissa.
Yeah, well, I'm a dragon.
What was it like for you to write this book with your daughter?
Oh, it was so fun. It was bonding. And, you know, she's at the Houston Art Institute. She graduates this July, and she's ahead of her class. I mean, her teachers ask her for her homework to save her samples for the next season.
Nice.
Or the next semester. And it was just really fun. Like, I know she's going to be just super successful as an artist, and I wanted her to have like something to put in her portfolio. And it was so fun to work with her because she is super professional for one thing. And I didn't even know that side about her until I started working with her. And it was just, it was fun and enjoyable. And she makes everything better. You know, like she made the ABC book better and she made, you know, the Planets book better. She's a joy to work with, and she's got a beautiful soul.
That is really, really great to hear, Melissa.
Thank you.
It's so rare that you get to work with family, much less mothers, daughters, fathers, sons getting to work together in this day and age. So
I thought that was really great.
That is a true, true blessing for you guys. Congratulations on that. The book looks great. As we get ready to head out, number one, thank you so much for being on the show and chatting with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Where can everybody go to get their copy of Planets of the Week and ABC Affirmations, all of the great esoteric children's series by Miss Melissa Irene?
You can go to melissadivinity.com, or you can call me 512-586-8960, and I'll mail you a copy.
Great. And it is that same information if you are looking for holistic therapy, holistic advice, things like that, correct?
Yeah, totally. Holistic therapy, herbology, you know, I do Reiki and, you know, any kind of healing that I can help you with, I'm available.
Absolutely. Well, please do hold the line real quick as we close things out here. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and chat with us today, Melissa.
Well, thank you for your interest.
Absolutely. Hold on for just a moment. While you are online checking out the great website, melissadivinity.com, /books for the Planet of the Week book, as well as the upcoming books that she has coming out, melissadivinity.com for all of her great holistic advice, things like that, and to schedule your appointment with Melissa. While you're online checking on that, all that out, make sure to stop on by dudesandbeer.com. That's where you can check out the Knowledge Vault, all of the great downloadable documents, declassified government programs, secret patents of Nikola Tesla, all kinds of fun stuff there. You can also check out all the episodes. You can also download our free app there. And you can also check out our parent network, the HC Universal Network, while you are there. Great shows like Magus Elgar, Yes But Why Podcast, Never Again Radio just joined us. Welcome, guys, as well as Rebecca Sounds Reveille and others. Make sure to stop on by and check all that out. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.